Surprise.
Wait, do I know you?
You use your Discover cashback card to earn 5% cashback on restaurants all quarter.
Yeah.
Now, it's payback time.
Whoa, hold on.
Go ahead.
Oh, you mean my Discover cashback.
I told you there'd be payback.
You know, you have a weird way of delivering good news.
I'm working on that.
Activate and earn 5% cashback at different categories each quarter on up to $1,500 in purchases.
Terms apply. See discover.com/5 for details.
The word.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 13th day of August 2026. And tonight, they always wonder how I'm going to introduce them. So I'll just start out with saying our producer tonight is Old Style.
Hey, Pastor.
There you go. Hey, Old Style. All righty. And you heard the cackler. That's the Studio Marm. They call her Cacklin' Little Lisa.
Good evening, everyone.
I think he has your mic turned off.
What? Hello?
Okay.
Can you hear me now?
You can turn it back off now if you want to.
Good evening, everyone. Who knows?
Doesn't take a lot to confuse her, does it? She's already there. All right. Who's sitting next to her? Just had a birthday this past week.
Yeah.
And him, Randy, and Sandy, and Christine.
Yep.
Well, two out of the three got flowers, and I'm not going to say who because Randy would be offended, but Randy didn't get any.
I was quite happy.
Well, we had fun, didn't we?
Good evening, everyone. Alrighty. God is in control.
We have a whole lot to do, so we're going to get right to it, okay? Now, we've been talking about the title of the message, and Style, you can chime in on these, too, because there's going to be some questions. And we'll give you a minute to think about it before, you know, we reveal the true prophecy. But we were talking about what happens if you got left behind. If the rapture took place and you find out you're here. Mm. And we gave some different scenarios about a guy waking up one morning to all kinds of confusion and finding that his wife was gone and his teenage daughter was crying because she found the wife had left the stove on and the kids were gone and a pile of clothes were left there. And so we're going through this and some of the things that might happen and some of the things that will happen during that tribulation period. Well, We talked about a number of things, but we didn't talk about the two witnesses. And so we're going to talk about the two witnesses here tonight. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, And the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar to them that worship therein. Now, measurement of the temple and its worshipers is what he's talking about, a spiritual evaluation here. He's not talking about literal. And so John is entering into his inheritance. And so he goes and he says, But the court which is without the temple, leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. So now we're seeing here this was taking place. Now, got to remember, the Bible is not in chronological order if you try to study it. So you'll be talking about here, and then we'll go actually from here, we'll go backwards as we continue to go forward in Revelation as we look back. So now, he says here, But the court which was without temple, leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. Now, the Gentile nations are led by who?
The Antichrist?
The Antichrist, right. So if we go forward to Revelation 13, and he stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his 10 crowns, and upon his 10 heads the name of blasphemy. So here now, when they come up out of the sea, okay, what does that tell us? If the Antichrist is coming up out of the sea, what does that tell us?
The nations?
Or out of the people.
Gentiles?
Pardon?
Out of the people or the nations.
He's coming up out of the, that means he's a Gentile. Mm-hmm. He's a Gentile because the Gentiles come up out of the sea. Whatever it refers to bodies of water, how do we know that? Well, if we look at a couple places in Scripture, 14 verse 2, and I heard a voice from heaven as it were the voice of many waters. Those are Gentile nations. And then if we go over to Revelation 17, here, verse 15, Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth. Oh, I'm on a wrong, I'm one chapter off, right? Let me get over here. Here you go. And he saith unto me, The waters which thou sawest wherein the whore sitteth are peoples, multitudes, and nations, and tongues. So we're seeing here now that the Gentiles are led by, they're led with a Gentile leader, and that Gentile leader is the Antichrist himself. Mm-hmm. Now we get into 3.5 years into this, and I will give power unto my 2 witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. So that would be about 1,260 days. Now, let me ask you this. Who do you think the 2 witnesses are?
Moses and Elijah.
Okay. Little Lisa always says Moses and Elijah. Okay. Who does Randy say?
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Okay. Style?
I don't know.
You don't know? Well, some people say, why would you say Moses and Elijah? Well, there are some people that say it can't be Moses. It can't be Moses. It's got to be Enoch and Elijah. Why would they say it's got to be Enoch and Elijah?
Because both of them never died.
No, Moses died.
Yeah, he died. But I mean, Enoch.
Enoch and Elijah had never died.
Yeah, Enoch and Elijah, yeah.
So they had died. Moses died. So when Moses had died, and when Jesus was resurrected, what happened? All the graves opened, and all of the saints, the Old Testament saints, were risen and returned back to glory, to heaven. That means Moses would have had a glorified body, right? But the problem of it is you can't kill a glorified body.
Right.
Right, yeah.
So it says here that these three will prophesy for 3.5 years, and then they'll be killed, these two.
The two, yeah.
Now, this is the theory that a lot of theologians have.
Mm-hmm.
But what could be the problem with that theory? Is God locked into the restrictions that he gives us?
No, absolutely not.
So now, how many things are impossible for God?
Nothing.
Nothing's impossible.
So they overlook that point, don't they?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So we go ahead. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before God on the earth. Now, those two olive trees... Mm-hmm. They were referenced in Zechariah's vision of the trees providing oil for their lamps. And the angel told Zechariah that they were the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. Mm-hmm. And so here, that was referring to who? Well, again, it goes back to the same thing. Some believe that it was Enoch and Elijah, others Moses. Now, if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must be, in this manner, be killed.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Who was it that brought down fire from heaven?
Elijah.
Right.
Elijah brought down fire from heaven. These have the power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy,
mm-hmm.
and have power to over water, turning them into blood. Okay, now here, who was it that brought the drought for three years?
Oh, that was Elijah.
Elijah.
Yeah.
Who was it that turned the water into blood and brought
that
on
Moses? Yeah.
Moses.
Yes.
Okay. And so,
and to smite the earth,
and to,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So that was Moses too.
Yes.
So that could be how they come up with Moses.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. And so, and when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them and kill them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the Antichrist.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so here now, and their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. So what city, what great city was called Sodom and Egypt? Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the Lord was crucified.
Yes.
And they of the people... and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their bodies to be put into graves. And they shall dwell upon the earth, and they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and they shall send gifts to one another, because the two prophets appointed them that dwell upon the earth. Why do you think they would do that? Why do you think they would... They would celebrate because these two men were killed by the Antichrist.
Because they were sending fire down from heaven?
Well, because people hate truth.
Yeah, they don't want to know the truth.
And if they believe that that truth is annihilated, they're ultimately going to believe that, they're on the winning side with the Antichrist and everything.
Right.
And so these two are not going to be saying what they want to hear, are they?
No.
Okay. And so, is it kind of like what the Democrats feel about this radio program?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really like to hear what we're saying, do they?
No.
No.
It's like nails on a chalkboard.
And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entereth into them. And they stood up on their feet, and a great fear fell upon them which saw them.
Mm-hmm.
And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, Come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And at the same hour there was a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell, and in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, the remnant which were affrighted, and gave glory to the God of heaven. And the second woe is past, and behold, the third woe came quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So now, this is still during the tribulation period. This is in the middle of this thing.
Mm-hmm.
So who do you have in the city of Jerusalem?
At that time?
Yeah.
Well, it should be the Jews, of course.
Yes.
Well, you did. You would have the Jews, but you also had many of the Gentiles there, too, remember?
Right.
But the court was withheld.
Yeah.
And he goes on to say, And the temple leave out, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city, that they tread her underfoot 42 months, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so you've got that taking place there at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But remember, 2/3 of the Jews perish here.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And so
where does the Jerusalem being trodden down of the Gentiles, how does that tie in? What's the time frame of that?
Well, it ties in at the very end, too. Okay, this is going to be, it starts at the beginning of the tribulation.
Okay.
And then at the very end, if you turn to Zechariah chapter 14.
Okay,
Zechariah 14.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and start with verse 1. Read me through verse 5.
Okay. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. Uh-huh. And the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished. And half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city.
Okay, See, right there, you're going to have what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you go back, let's go back and start with verse 8 and then read through verse 9 and chapter 13.
Okay, verse 8 and 9 and chapter 13. Okay. It says, And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire and will refine them as silver is refined and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God.
Okay, now that's the entire nation of Israel
mm-hmm.
that he's talking about. 2/3 are the seed of Abraham. 1/3 are the sons of Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the sons of Abraham are the ones that are converted, and they call, and they recognize Christ as their Lord. Right now, today in Israel, there's a number of Orthodox Jews that recognize Christ as Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
So then we pick it back up in verse 3. Then go ahead in verse 3.
It says, Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle.
Remember, we talked about also that the Gentile nations would be in Jerusalem at this time, but go ahead.
Yeah. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east, and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azel. Yea, ye shall flee, like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee.
Why do you think that that earthquake there in the days of Uzziah was so important?
Well, because it shows the destruction and the things that happened, you know, at that time of that earthquake.
It was such a great earthquake.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
A tremendous earthquake.
Right.
And so here now, so the Lord's coming back with all of his saints.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and they stand. What are the saints there for?
Well, to do battle, right, with the enemy.
Yes.
Right. If we go to Revelation chapter 19, and you start with verse 11.
Revelation 19, verse 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God.
So he's returning with his armies.
Mm-hmm.
And what do armies do?
Fight. Armies fight.
They break things and kill people, right?
Yes.
So now he's returning.
Right.
And we see him back where we just read in Zechariah. He shows up to Mount of Olives at the exact same place he stood before he left. He stands in the same place. He splits He splits to the north and the south.
Yeah.
Where else did he split to the north and the south?
Mount of Olives, what else?
It's when he parted the Red Sea.
Okay.
And so what happened when he parted the Red Sea, Israel did what?
They walked through on dry land.
Okay. So now he's parting to the north and the south, and Israel is going, where are they going to go to?
Huh. Well, they would come through as well.
Well, they're coming right through that mountain there, okay,
mm-hmm.
Into safety where they'll be kept there, so...
Does that tie into, it almost sounds like a completion of the covenant where the Lord had, who was that, passed through the animals? Oh, boy. When he was making a covenant.
Well, with Peter? Are you talking about
Abraham?
I think it was
Abraham.
Oh, you
mean during the cloud when Abraham divided the animals up?
Yes. Yeah. I wonder, does that?
It's probably an application there, yeah.
Yeah.
I would think.
Okay.
All righty, we're going to stop right there and pick it up there tomorrow.
Interesting.
And we'll be back after this with more.
And our smiles will beam and glow when those battle foes we fought for years finally fall from one last blow. So don't give up on hope too soon, girl, before this day arrives. Just heave a sigh and try to dry all these teardrops from your eyes. There's still time for me and you. There's still love to see us through. There's still miles of road we've yet to travel, and so much we still can do. So won't you choose, girl, to lose these blues and remember this. this, my friend, that it's not over, girl, until we win. It's not over till our adversary's down for the count. It's not over till the last bell rings. It's not over till the crowd stands up to scream and shout, until the big old friendly fat lady sings. And as far as I know, we got a ways yet to go, so we might as well hang tough till the end. 'Cause it's not over, girl, until we win. No, it's not over, girl, until we win. Whenever I stop and think about the many times we faced impossible odds, when the hopelessness and despair felt so intense that we didn't think we could hold out any longer, yet time and again we were given the grace to overcome those odds and the courage to keep fighting the fight. What it proves to me is we've got angels watching over us, girl. So if we can just keep our hope alive for a little bit longer and keep on believing in the promise that the truth will one day set us free, then there shall be a glorious future awaiting us. For I've read the end of the story, and it's not over until we win. Yeah, now there's still time for me and you. Oh, there's still love to see us through. Yeah, there's still miles of road we've yet to travel, and so much we still can do. So won't you choose now to lose these blues, and remember this, my friend, that it's not over, girl, until we win. No, it's not over till our adversary's down for the count. It's not over till the last bell rings. It's not over till the crowd stands up to scream and shout, until the big old smiling fat lady sings. And as far as I know, we got a ways yet to go, so we might as well hang tough till the end. 'Cause it's not over, girl, until we win. No, it's not over, girl, until we win. It's not over, girl, until we win. It's not over, girl, until we win. It's not over, child, until we win. It's not over.
But I'm not going to be the one to ask the fat lady to sing. I've learned my lesson. All right, we got a lot of things. I'll tell you who hasn't. Well, I'll tell you. This radical Kansas City Democrat, a gubernatorial nominee, well, she sparks fury after her very sacrilegious post about the Lord Jesus Christ resurfaces. That's right, the Kansas Democrat gubernatorial nominee is under fire after disgusting and extremely sacrilegious post she made about the Lord Jesus Christ resurfaced again this week. As the Washington Examiner reported on Wednesday, State Senator Cindy Holscher had an exchange she had on a right-leaning user on X. In it, she criticized Senate Bill 149 legislation introduced that year that sought to restrict drag performances accessible to minors. The argument occurred back in March 7 of 2023. At one point during the exchange, Holzer outlandishly suggested that Jesus Christ, who Christians regard as the Son of God, could have been either a sodomite or transgender. I have no idea if Jesus was trans or gay or straight, Houchev wrote. That's because you are reprobate.
Yes.
Yes, according to God, and you're reprobate. And God, he calls him right, doesn't he?
Yes.
So don't blame yourself, because you're reprobate is the reason. Well, yeah, you better blame yourself, Mr. Holster. God didn't make you a reprobate. You chose that way, right? But you seem to imply that a sacred figure is less than if they aren't straight. That's too bad, Holcher added. Then she demanded that the user provide proof that schools are grooming children. So it's not too hard to do that. But suggesting that the Lord Jesus Christ have been a transgender is not only a true slap in the face and mockery of the Christian faith, it's also the dumbest possible statement because 70% of the Kansas adults identify with the Christian faith. So a candidate obviously cannot win a conservative state like Kansas if they mock Christianity. Well, you know, if you're reprobate, you're not usually not very smart, right?
Okay. Right.
It doesn't take a lot of brains to be reprobate. Mm-hmm. Social media users responded with disgust after learning what Holcher said. So, anyhow, little Lisa, you have an article there.
Okay, well, Massachusetts Democrat Governor Maura Healey signed a new law on August the 5th attempting to block U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement from assessing a variety of locations across the state. She described the law, which names schools, daycares, hospitals, health centers, nursing homes, and courthouses as places ICE cannot access, as the strongest legislation in the country against ICE. She claimed that children in Chelsea, where she signed the legislation, have not been attending school for fear of ICE encounters, per a report from CBS News. She also says that ICE is not a law enforcement agency and claims that nobody in ICE would have been qualified to be hired for a state agency such as Massachusetts State Police. She says that ICE is wrong in what it's doing and ICE needs to be stopped here and around the country, stopped in its tracks. But here, the new law comes as ICE expands its nationwide crackdown, with detentions reaching a record level in July for President Trump's second term. A representative of the Department of Homeland Security said in a statement to CBS News that, quote, instead of working with us, Massachusetts lawmakers are choosing to release violent criminals from their jails directly back into our communities to perpetrate more crimes and create more victims. When politicians bar local law enforcement from working with DHS, our law enforcement officers have to have a more visible presence so that we can find and apprehend the criminals let out of jails and back into communities, the statement said.
Okay, so why do you think that the Democrats will always, always support the criminal over the victim?
Those are Democrats. Always for that which is evil.
Well, no, the reason is, like everything they do, if you listen closely to everything they do,
mm-hmm.
it's whatever God's word, the Bible, teaches is good, they consider evil. And whatever God says is evil, they consider good.
Right.
It's exactly the way it's says in Isaiah chapter 5. Mm-hmm. So they'll always take they hate doing things which seem to make sense.
Yeah. Right.
They don't like logic. They like illogic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Corrupted mindset.
Yes, reprobate right. mind.
Mm-hmm. Okay. They don't like peace. They like confusion.
Mm-hmm.
And so here, that's why they'll always take the side of, now what do? They let these judges, another one's going to be impeached, I think, I hope they get impeached, because they just let another criminal out the very same day. They let him out. He went out and stabbed a man to death. Okay?
Yes.
And so they keep letting him out, and they mm-hmm. keep killing people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But that's to Democrats. Remember, all of those that hate God love death. All of those that hate God love death. You have an article there, Randy?
Yeah. It says, Socialist Pennsylvania congressional candidate Chris Rabb collapses when pressed on his radical DSA agenda and compares police to KKK. Says Democratic Socialist Pennsylvania congressional candidate Chris Rabb sat for a heated interview on Fox News this week, where he was asked to defend his policies but repeatedly dodged questions on radical stances like abolishing the Senate, defunding the police, and abolishing immigration laws. Rabb, a five-term Pennsylvania state representative, won his primary for U.S. Congress in May. The Democratic Socialist of America, DSA, highlighted his win in a press release, writing, "There's a new DSA member in Congress." Rab, who was endorsed by Socialist Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and the other squad members, has the same radical DSA policy agenda. He joined Fox News' Sean Hannity on Wednesday night to defend his platform. Hilariously, the interview began with Rab calling Sean Hannity Scott. Hannity responded, "My name is not Scott. My name is Sean. But that's okay." Rab went on to dodge questions about the Democratic Socialists of America's insane policies, like abolishing the Senate. "That's not really what I ran on," he said of the DSA's plan for the Senate. "That's the DSA's national platform," he added, but refused to say what he believes. When asked if he wants to abolish borders and give amnesty for illegals, Rab purported to not know what an illegal is and said, "I don't accept the premise of that question." He went on to say he absolutely wants to abolish Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, and dismantle the immigrant concentration camps. On ending deportations, Rab did not directly answer, saying, "We want to make sure that there's an immigration system that is fair, just, and efficient, and we don't have that system." He further said, "Absolutely," when asked if he wants to eliminate cash bail and establish a wealth tax. On abolishing prisons, however, Rab again avoided the question, calling the notion interesting before bizarrely claiming, "Long before there was any notion of policing, we had founders that did not even understand that term. Policing is something that has evolved over time." He then claimed that 99% of what police do are not going after the bad guys. He then began arguing with Hannity over the definition of police, saying, "Let's talk about this in the appropriate context," and suggesting that community safety can be ensured without policing. Finally, after arguing for 2 minutes about what the police are for, Rab admitted exactly what he had been dancing around. "Listen, my people are from the South," Rab said. "We couldn't trust the police because they were largely part of the Klan."
Well, you know what? Again, here's a guy that grew up in this country. This country gave him all that he has. Mm-hmm. By no means poor. You know, it's like Bernie Sanders, you know, poor for the working man. You know, he has $15 million in the bank. Wow. You know, he has 3 homes.
Wow.
Does that sound like the working man to you?
No.
Do you think maybe Bernie might be a bit of a hypocrite?
Yes.
All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to open the phone lines early tonight. So the phone lines are now open at 216-901-0933. 216-901-0933.
Now, well, Pastor, there's one thing that they didn't give him, and that was an understanding on a definition of what illegal is.
Okay. Here's what an illegal is. One who did not enter the country legally.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so
illegal is the opposite of legal.
Yes.
Well, it's just like the same thing. Right. What is a woman? They brought up here this whole thing now. You got those two former NFL or NBA basketball players, those two men. They're trying to prove a point. They want to show how ridiculous this is to have men and women sports. So they want to get on these women's teams.
Yeah.
And they want to show them the difference between the way a man plays and a woman, see? But these Democrats, these liberals, are kind of too stupid to understand that, right?
Yes.
And so, but here's what, and this took a lot of research, a lot of time went into this, and a lot of thought to what is a woman, and the answer came back, one that is not a man.
Right.
Wow.
How is that? Okay.
Oh, brother.
Very good. So now, here, do you know what's happening there in Dearborn? The police chief is begging, before I go there, let me ask you this, okay. What would you do, Randy, if you were king? If you were king for today, when it comes to immigration, would you do what Trump's doing, or would you handle that differently?
No, I think I would probably pretty much follow what he's doing. I mean, you have to have, which we do, we have a system to which you can come into this country, and that's the system that you have to abide by.
Okay, what I would do, I think if I were in that position, of course, I'm not privy to all the information Trump has on what's going on, but I would go after all of those with a record. I would go after those that are involved in the human trafficking.
Right.
Many of these there. So I would go after those, the ones with the rapists, the murderers, all of those first. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then we would take it case by case, look at the people, especially when the children are involved,
Yeah.
That's what I think I would do.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And that's what Lisa would, always does what I do.
Yeah. And that may require maybe hiring more judges or whatnot, because obviously the system is very slow with bringing people into the country. And I think, of course, that system could probably be overhauled, but you just can't have everybody coming into your country unvetted.
Right.
You don't know who you're letting in. You don't know what they're about. And then, we have all of this crime, all of this chaos that's happening. You know, these people are, and this is not, these are not just innocent crimes. There are Americans, there are all types of people whose lives are at danger. You got these people that are getting these fake CDL license and getting on the road, and they're putting people at jeopardy.
Yes.
So we can't have that.
Okay, so like Trump says, no Muslims. He doesn't want any Muslims coming in here.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think? Would that say, are there some people that are only Muslim because they're afraid to say they're not?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure there's a fear there for some.
Okay, I would think there's will be a lot of them.
Yeah.
Okay, and so,
but the radicals, the radical ones, they don't want to come over here to assimilate into the culture of America. It's they have an ideology to take over. That is their sole purpose.
Okay. Yes.
Dearborn Police Chief begs residents to please stay home ahead of the August 18th. Council meeting as fed-up Americans plan to confront Islamic stronghold. Dearborn, Michigan police are in full panic mode. Police Chief Isa Shavrin, now they're mostly all Muslims, the whole police department, okay, released a desperate video messaging urging residents to stay away from Tuesday's August 18th City Council meeting, because anti-Islam protesters, including activists planning a Christian crusade march to stop Islamification, are expected to show up and exercise their First Amendment rights. Please stay home, Shahin says. Dearborn Police Chief Isa Shahin says individuals and organizations from outside the community may travel to the city for anti-Islam demonstration. Police will deploy an enhanced presence and have prepared what the department describes as comprehensive security plan. Shahin claims that the expected demonstrators are coming to provoke residents, manufacture a confrontation, and generate publicity. Shahin says individuals and groups from outside our community may come to the Dearborn City Council meeting on Tuesday 18th. We have been monitoring the situation closely and coordinating with our state and federal partners. We have a plan in place, and you will see an enhanced presence of police officers. But here's my direct ask. Any of our residents, please stay home. These groups that are coming here are coming for one reason, and that's to provoke a reaction, to generate attention. If anybody shows up to react, they have nothing The most powerful thing that the community can do is refuse to give them an audience. So what do you think about that? Let's go take Tom in San Diego. Tom, you're in the air.
Hi, Pastor Sanders.
Hey. Go ahead.
I've heard you speak a little bit about surveillance and flock cameras and stuff like that.
Yeah, you know, it's the interesting thing is the citizens have been shooting them out.
Yeah. Well, they say between, without even the flock cameras, that just between your phone and your social posts and some other data that seems to be being picked up on, that they're getting a pretty good picture of where everybody's at. So,
yeah, well, and all of these data centers, that's just to store data on all of us, okay? I mean, you know, everywhere you go, I get a kick out of it because I got my smart aleck phone, and I'll go get in my car, and it knows I'm in the car as soon as I started. It tells me how far it is, how long it's going to take me to get home. And if I'm right. If I'm leaving from home, it'll pick another place for me to go. And so...
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
I used to work with a guy doing some pickup moving jobs, and he was one of the first guys that had that thing that I saw, and he'd automatically take a wrong turn because he wanted to go another way and make it recalculate. And I was just kind of amazed at that time. But I've run into some other things. They've actually got things they can put in people that are total surveillance mechanisms now. And they work wirelessly in the body. It's scary, spooky stuff, but I first came across it in early 2007, and so that tells you how far ahead they are on things that they don't even tell you about, that you're not going to know about for a long time.
And they were doing that all the way back in the 80s and 90s. Some of the military, they were experimenting. The French military was doing that. They were placing those little things in their foreheads.
RFID.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so...
I've never heard of that.
Yeah. Yeah. That was being done where the idea... And they were actually promoting that if you do that, if you put that on, let's say a police officer's down or one of your soldiers is down and it's dark and you right. can't find them, or if there's been a storm or tornado and people are buried, then they can find them. It beeps, it puts out a signal, and you can go right to them. That's what they were, and this is why they were trying to use it. They were experimenting in the military and police departments way back then.
Okay, so was that in this country as well?
Well, you said it was not supposed to be in this country, but I'm sure it was, you know. Our government,
right, yeah.
The government, even under Trump, doesn't tell us all they want to know. You got too many cowboys out there that, you know, I don't know. But anyhow.
Well, yeah, I had some people that were giving me a lot of fits after they found out, without my knowledge, that I had a Jewish heritage. I was living in a small town in Michigan, and my life got completely turned upside down by their activities. And so they were trying to get me classified as a terrorist after that, and came up with some bogus stuff. And I knew I was getting followed at one point in my car, and I could never find how the mechanism worked or where it was tucked away. And, finally, I lost my car, and I had a few years of peace just using regular transportation. And all of a sudden, I'm starting to get followed again.
Oh.
And I told this old World War II vet I used to eat breakfast with. I said, "Hey, Danny, I think I'm getting followed again. I don't have a car. What's up with this?" And he says, "Well, I have a nephew in the CIA. I'll check on that." And some time goes by, and
Well, we're definitely coming into the age of the Antichrist, where, again, the Antichrist is not omnipotent, omniscient, or omnipresent, but through technology, he can appear that, through technology.
Yeah.
And so I have to move on, Tom, because the board's all lit up. But let's go to Vince. Vince in, well, let's see.
Good evening.
Yeah. Oh, St. Paul.
My phone call. I believe that the Bible states that John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit in his mother's womb.
Yep.
And if that was the case, then that means he came from heaven, and there was a spirit in heaven that was probably given to him, and probably that was the spirit of Elijah. In other words, I don't know how in the world someone would be filled with the Holy Spirit even before birth.
Well, all things, look, all of us actually, you know, we're in the mind of God before the foundations of the earth. The Lord Jesus referred to those that the Father have given me. You know, you hear, who's going to make it to heaven, okay? Who did Christ die for? Well, it's not complicated. It's kind of spelled out pretty clear. And Jesus refers to all of those that my Father has given me. Not to these people, not to this, but to those my Father has given me. So John the Baptist, yeah, he was filled.
He was a Christian before born. So apparently he was saved before he was even born.
I would say so.
So he might have been one of the two witnesses.
Well, in the spirit, John the Baptist, so often they speak about the spirit. It's the spirit of John the Baptist was in the spirit of Elijah, just like Nero Caesar and Judas was in the spirit of Antichrist, okay? The sons of perdition. Mm-hmm. So you have that where it's the same spirit, different people, different bodies, but the same spirit.
And just like you told Jeremiah, before you were in the womb, I knew you.
You're, absolutely.
Okay, well, but that's true. Before you were in the womb, I knew you, but that's not the issue. The issue is John the Baptist is different than everybody else in this world, even more so than Jesus. Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit after the baptism.
Well, Jesus said that among men who were born of women, and
right.
I think that means most men, huh?
Yeah.
Of course,
yes.
Now with Democrats, it might not be so. They got different ways of doing things, but men born of women, John the Baptist was greatest of all men.
Greater. But then he also said, but he that is least in the kingdom is greater than John the Baptist.
Well, what was he talking about there?
If you inherit eternal life, if you make it in, your name is written in that book of life. That's greater than any, any works or anything. Yeah.
All righty. Well, thanks, Vince, for calling.
All right, thank you.
Have a good night. All righty. How much time do we have there? All right. We have. So, if I were, we talked about this. Now, if I were in charge of what has taken place there. Well, if I was the first caller, I definitely would not go to Dearborn, Michigan, because, they're not too big on Jews in Dearborn, Michigan.
Right. When are they holding that rally there?
The 18th.
Oh, okay.
And so, see, the entire police chief, the mayor, the city council, they're all Muslims there.
Yeah.
They're trying to make them, and they want to invoke Sharia law.
Yeah,
and so,
but we have to pray for them that they don't fall into the same trap like those that were January 6th.
All righty, we'll be back right after this with a whole lot more. Don't go away.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left. the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
Hey, it's your ceiling vent, so I'm dripping. Could be the rain, could be the upstairs bathroom. Yikes. You could hire the guy your neighbor recommended, but I'm pretty sure that's just his cousin. Do we know if he's licensed, or does he just own a ladder?
Listen to your home. Go with Thumbtack. Upload a photo or voice note, and we'll diagnose your project and match you with the right pro for the job. Thumbtack. We know homes. Hire the right pro today.